Good morning, everyone. How are you this morning?
Morning.
Well, I have this Sunday and next Sunday, and then I'm leaving on vacation. So anyway, it's been a real pleasure, and I've just been thrilled about teaching this class, and you guys are so amazing, and I just draw off of your anointing and your hunger to learn the things of God, and so it makes it so easy that the time just goes by like that. I'm just flabbergasted when I see you guys get up, because I know that's my ding, 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 like my two-minute warning. Anyway, has anyone been challenged in their love walk this week? Nobody. Oh, praise the Lord, only me. Well, then I guess the whole thing was for myself, and my purpose for this whole next 21-day, my 21-day detox is that love will be my banner. Because God promises that love never fails, and He is love, and He lives in me, so I know that His love, Romans 5:5 says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, so we can know that it's not our own generated love, but it's the love of God on the inside of us that compels us to be able to love someone else. It's hardest to love the people closest to you because you're around them all the time. And that was my dilemma, was making the decision to walk in love and making that choice. So I just wanted to talk today about why we go through the process of renewing our mind. And as we've gone through this class, it's all about rewiring our brain. It's about renewing your mind, but what we're doing is we're rewiring our brain. If you wired it in, you can wire it out. And if there's something that you don't like about yourself, then you can change it. And we do that because through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the first scripture I want to go to is Deuteronomy 30:19. And even though we've been here a lot, I want this to be the basis of where we go. So turn to Deuteronomy 30:19. I'm going to stay on point and use the scriptures that the Holy Spirit gave me this week because they're so good. Deuteronomy 30:19. Somebody want to read that for me? Perfect. So he says, I have set before you today life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life. So he doesn't even leave it in our choice. He's like telling us, this is what I want you to do. I want you to choose life. And every day we make choices. And those choices begin in our brain. Every choice that we have begins with a thought. We get to choose whether we're going to take a thought or change a thought. We can see when the thoughts come. We can feel a thought of negativity coming toward us. God has designed with us, inside of us, to be able to know and recognize before we actually take a thought and start thinking about it. And so that is the process that God wants us to go through, is that you have to recognize. You don't let any thought come through your mind that goes unchecked. You allow yourself to meditate on something, and we talked about creating scenarios. We create scenarios of things that haven't even happened, but your body perceives it as real. Your body literally perceives it as if it is actually truly happening. So if you are constantly thinking in a fear-based mentality, and you're going down this road of fear, your body is releasing chemicals that are hurting you. And it puts you in a state of chaos, and we already know that fear is not of God. Let's turn there. 2 Timothy 1:7 in the Amplified Bible is my favorite way to read it because it comes across really loud. The reason I really like this scripture, and Jeannie actually is the one who, she texted me this in the Amplified because I hadn't read it in Amplified because I memorized it in New King James, but it says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love and a calm and well-balanced mind. A calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. Those are all the things that he has given us through his spirit. So when we become born again and we become connected with the Holy Spirit, our spirit connects with his spirit, and then we get an empowerment from God to be able to have a calm and well-balanced mind. How many of you would like to have a calm and well-balanced mind? Don't we all? That's my happy world, is to have a peaceful, calm, well-balanced, not freaking out, not being a freak about things, but knowing and totally trusting in God. And the spirit that he's given us is power. Did you notice that that's the first thing he says? I've given you a spirit of power. So the spirit that we have on the inside of us is a spirit of power and love. But that he also, it is a calm and well-balanced mind. I mean, he doesn't leave anything out, does he? He wants us to be in this state of calm and well-balanced because we're trusting in him. That's what he wants, is us to have a place of trust, because in trust there comes peace, because we know that God's in control of everything. There was a poem that a little boy wrote me when I was in the fifth grade. I know this sounds crazy, but I had a boyfriend when I was in fifth grade. He was in sixth grade, and he was just precious. His name was Dean. And we just had this fun friendship, and we played on the playground, and we passed notes to each other. And one day, his cousin Dwayne came to Utopia, moved to Utopia. And I just thought he was the dreamiest thing ever. I thought, wow, that's my prince. Well, in the process, Dean's heart got broken. And so here I was, fifth grade, have already broken somebody's heart. And he sent me this poem. And I have it memorized at heart since fifth grade because it impacted me so greatly. And it says, if a wrong you are remembering that someone did to you, weed it from your mind like thistles and replace there something new. Something that will grow and blossom, something everybody needs, because there's no room in life's fair garden for the ugly growth of weeds. And it was so powerful that I have never forgotten it. It is in a tree in my brain that it has impacted me. And so now, as an adult, and I'm learning about our brain, and I'm learning how it looks and how it grows, and I think about weeding from your mind like thistles and replacing it with something new. Isn't that incredible?
Yes.
That a sixth grade boy have this poem.
Did he write it?
No, I don't think he wrote it. I think he copied it out of our poetry book or something like that. But when I read it, it impacted me so greatly about the importance of forgiving. If a wrong you are remembering that someone did to you, weed it from your mind like thistles and replace there something new. So why is it important for us to replace those thoughts? Because it wasn't hurting me. It was hurting him. And he knew he needed to get rid of that pain because of what it was doing to him. And so that's why if we have a wrong remembering, we need to let it go because it is hurting us.
Amen.
It is hurting us. And so I've had so many great conversations this week with people and with friends about this whole letting things go and replacing our toxic thoughts. And one of my friends says what she does is she takes everything and she in her mind, she visualizes everything, putting it into a box. I'm putting it into a box and I'm shipping it to Africa. Shipping it. I mean, she really visualizes herself putting it in a box, like writing down every little thing and putting it in her box. She's doing this all in her mind, and she's taking those things that she's in grievance about or unforgiveness about, and she keeps rehearsing, and so she puts them in the box, and she's mailed them to Africa. So they're no longer part of her life. They're gone. She is, you know, some people take a balloon, and they wrap it on a balloon, and they watch the balloon sell. I mean, there's so many ways you can do it. The bottom line is that you're trying to get it out of your system, get it out of your brain. So the other day, she was bringing it up, and her sister said, do you realize what you've just done? You mailed that package to Africa, and now it's come back to you, and you've decided to open it. You've chosen. You've taken a choice to see the package instead of saying, return to sender. You've taken the package, and you've opened it, and here you go again, rehearsing it. And so what happens when we rehearse those things, especially verbally? When you start talking about it, and what happens? This is what happens. It causes this to grow more branches. So it's causing your toxic tree as you start, let's say something has happened to you, like in the last, say, 2 years ago, something happened to you. And so you're sitting around at the table and you're talking to a friend. Well, what she says triggers that memory. And so what you do is you say, oh my gosh, you know what happened to me 2 years ago? And you start talking about it. And as you start talking about it and rehearsing it, you're building the toxic tree. Do you realize that? And so what you're doing is you're making it bigger and you're making it stronger. And so instead of saying, you know what, how Jesus delivered me from having and helping that person with their toxicity, you can say, this is what I did to help myself get over this toxic thought. I replaced it. But what we like to do is we like to rehearse it and nurse it and curse it and just keep it like, oh my gosh, it's my baby and I can't let go of it. But that doesn't honor God. And it hinders you from being the person that God has intended for you to be. It keeps you back. It tethers you, or it keeps the reins on to where you can't function the way God wants you to function. He wants your thoughts and minds filled with things that are good and about Him and purposeful. And, you know, all this scripture in Philippians 4:8, it says, think on these things, right? And that's what He wants us meditating and thinking about. Easier said than done, correct? I mean, we can all say we know what the Word says about it, but then actually putting it into action, and when you're with the people that you're with every day that annoy you and irritate you, that you have issues with, that's when the choices come in about how you're going to take the next step. How are you going to go with, let's just say somebody says something to you ugly. We have choices. We're making thousands and thousands of choices every day about how we're going to go forward. How are we going to be? Another example. This week, there's a lady in our community. She has a beautiful accent. I love listening to her talk, and I'm just like, talk to me all day long. Well, she ran into one of my friends at the cafe, and she was visiting with her, and my friend was actually, she was talking about something she had unforgiveness about. She was really burdened, and she has some health issues because she's so upset with these people because they actually put her out, her and her children, out, what is it called, you know, when you're thrown out of the house and you have nowhere to go. You're just evicted and you have nowhere to go, and these people were so cruel and rude and mean to her, a single mother with kids, and just thrown out of her house. And so she has a grievance, and so this person who evicted her lives in the same town. So how many of you know when you live in a small town of 350 people, you might run into them? Yeah. And so when you run into them and you see them, what happens? It keeps those thoughts coming. It keeps that unforgiveness boiling and churning on the inside of you. So she's at the cafe, and my friend just happened to walk in. She was actually not even going to go to the cafe. She had planned on eating somewhere else, but she never made it. So she decides to go into the cafe. So she walks into the cafe, and there's sitting this lady, and she says, oh, come sit down here with me. So she's like, are you going to eat? She's like, I've already eaten, but you go ahead. She said, just go ahead and sit down. I'll sit with you while you eat. So she starts talking to her, and I don't even know how the whole conversation goes. All I know is that she started pouring out this grievance, this unforgiveness that she has. And so Dixie started telling her about what she's been learning in this class. So anyway, she goes on and on about how God has started to heal her and her memories and her thoughts and how it's affecting every relationship that she has. So she's just taking all of it in. And anyway, so when she leaves, she's like, oh my gosh, she says, I'm going to have to try this. Because she told her, the last thing she told her before she left was, unforgiveness is like taking poison, waiting for the other person to die. And she's like, it like hit her like a ton of bricks. Oh my gosh. All of this that's going on the inside of me, all these health issues that I have, the people that evicted me, they're not having any of that. It's me. I'm hurting myself. They're not hurting me. She finally, it's like the light dawned on her. Okay, so this is funny. So my point is in all this is that we want our lights to shine before others, that they see our good works, and it brings God glory. It's about bringing God glory through our actions, through our words, through our mannerisms. Okay, so the next day, I have to go into the grocery store to pay my bill. So I go in, I run back to the back because I need to get some milk because Trenton's coming the next day. So I run to the back, I get the milk, I come up to the front. This lady is standing here at the counter. She doesn't know I know the story or anything like that. And so I just come up behind her and I kind of give her a little bump and I say, hey, how you doing? And she turns and she's like, you! Like she was kind of like, almost like she saw a ghost. I said, hey, what's going on? How you doing? And she started talking, and the little girl's checking around, talking to it. We were all talking. And anyway, she kind of got a little flustered, And she's like, I'm doing good, I'm doing good. And she just zipped out. So then later, the next day, she ran into my husband and just happened to run into him just on the road. And she said, I want you to tell Tracy that I saw her the other day, and I just didn't know what to say to her, but I just want you to let her know that I think she's just beautiful inside and out. And Dwayne just can't wait to come and tell me. I'm like, oh my gosh, that just cracks me up, because it just cracks me up, because, you know, sometimes we don't see people for a long time, and then you all of a sudden you see them, and it's like boom, boom, all this series of circumstances, and how just you allow God, because when people are maybe not so nice to you, and then you return a kindness to them just by loving them and smiling at them, because you have no ought with them. Yeah. You know, if you say something ugly to me, it's like, I don't know why you said that, but, you know, that didn't touch me, and I just think you're amazing, and I just love to hear you. You know, that's why I told her, I said, you're so silly. I love to hear you talk. Can you just tell me something? Can you just talk to me? But anyway, my point is that no matter where we go, if we're in the grocery store, when we go to the bank, our previous experiences dictate how we act in the next experience. So if we don't take responsibility and recognize that where we are at today is because of the choices that we've made. Every single choice that we make has brought us to this place. We're not in control of events and circumstances in our lives. We're in control of how we respond.
That's right.
And how we act to the circumstances and events that come to our life. I know I've said that a lot. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13. A lot of times, you know, we don't want to take responsibility for our choice. We'll say, I can't help myself. I mean, the way we react, I just can't help myself. You just react in a certain way. It's like, it's almost like when somebody pokes you, you can't help but yell. But you really do have an empowerment on the inside of you to stop and think and choose the direction you're going to go. So 1 Corinthians 10:13. Anybody want to read that for me?
No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it.
Awesome. So no temptation, and the Amplified says, no temptation, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you or laid hold on you that is not common to man. So every temptation that comes to you is common. It's not like you're just something special, whatever. It is common to man. Say, common to man. It says, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to this human experience. But God is faithful to his word and to his nature, and he can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried beyond your ability and strength to resist. You know, a lot of times you've heard the saying, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. And of course, you know, there are the temptations that are out there. And the devil's been watching you from the time you were born to see what your weaknesses are. And guess where he's going to come and attack you? Is he going to attack you in your strength? No. He's going to attack you where you're weak. And so what is our responsibility? Learn your weaknesses. Learn your weaknesses. Because the Bible says that the devil goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. It doesn't say he gets to devour you. He's looking to see, who can I devour today? Well, what is he looking for? He's looking for your weakness. And isn't that what, even in the wild, the animals, they look for the weakest one. When the lions are chasing the whatever they chase in the wild, they're looking for the weak one. They're looking to cut off the weak one, right? That's why it's so important to be in a corporate body where you can be strengthened. It's hard to do it by yourself. It's important to be in the presence of God. It's important to stay connected to God. Okay, the other scripture, Hebrews 8:13. This is just another scripture talking about the mind. I just really want you to see that the whole, God knows that when you're born again, your spirit becomes... becomes connected with him. But then we have to deal with the soul part of us. We have to deal with our intellect. We have to deal with our emotions. Those are the things. The thing that he's given us is this will. And the will is the choosing mechanism on the inside of us. We get to choose. We get to choose the road we go down. We get to choose the way we react and respond to people. And this is where he wants us to, this is where he wants us to take responsibility for who we are in him and be able to act like him. Because he says, I've created you in my image. You are created in my likeness. We have the ability to be like him. From the aspect of our creative power of speaking God's word forth and knowing that his word will not return void without accomplishing what it sent forth to do, as well as making choices. And Jesus was such a great example. And I just praise God every day. When I praise Jesus, I thank him for his courage to come to earth as a man and be brave enough to walk on this earth like we do and show us that it can be done. He was a man. We have to remind ourselves that. He was flesh and blood. And he did it. And you know how he did it? Because he says, I don't do anything except I see my Father do it. And if we're connected with God in that way, and that we don't do it except we see our Father do it, how did he see his Father do it?
Staying connected
and being and focusing on him, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, looking to him, knowing that as we focus on him, he's going to give us direction. But many times we don't want to wait for that. We don't want to wait for the direction of God. We want to go. Let's just go. Let's do this. And a lot of times Jesus, he frustrated people because he wasn't like that. If God didn't say go, he didn't go. You know, even they said with Lazarus in the grave, they're like, if you would have come. He's like, it wasn't time for me to come. Can you just wait? Can you just see? And that's how God wants us to be. Okay, Hebrews 8:13. Let's go to verse 10. It says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will imprint my laws upon their minds, even upon their inmost thoughts and understanding, and engrave them upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. So that was the one I wanted to look at. It says, I will imprint my laws upon their minds. So there's a part of us, the God part of us in our mind, that actually has the capacity to know God's will. And that's his covenant with us. It says God is love, and then he has given us a capacity on the inside of us, in our brain, to be able to walk in love, to supernaturally to be able to walk in love. So this week, my test has been 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. And so that is, love is patient, love is kind. Love is not fretful, it's not resentful. It's all of those things that I, anyway, so what I did was I wrote it down, and I wrote it down every day. Because I know in my brain somewhere there's a tree with this scripture on there, because I've known that scripture since I was a teenager. And I even had it recited at my wedding. My pastor recited 1 Corinthians 13 at my wedding. I mean, it's been impactful to me. And now the Holy Spirit last week was just kind of putting his finger in my face saying, you're not walking in love. And I'm like, oh, I'm not walking in love. He said, love never fails. I said, love never fails. You're right. So then I had a choice to make. Do I believe that God's word is true over what I see with my eyes? I do. So if I do, then my choice is love. And so then I have to remind myself, what is love? Oh, love is patient, love is kind. Love endures long. That was the first thing. Love endures long. And there was a guy that we were ministering to one day, and we were talking about this love enduring long. He's like, but I am enduring. I am enduring this. And I'm like, that's not what that means. He's like, but I am enduring it. I'm like, well, love, but are you enduring it with patience and with kindness? And he's like, oh. It says it's not conceited, arrogant, or flavor with pride. That's not what I want. It's not rude or unmannerly and does not act unbecomingly. God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking, it's not touchy, fretful, or resentful. I'm like, shoot me now. Shoot me now, God. I just want to come to heaven and be with you. Because it's so easy to be like that. It's our humanness, the part of us, that soul part of us, that wants to say, but it's not right. It's not fair. It's not fair. How come they get to act like that? And God says, this isn't about them. This is about you and what you're seeking and what you're wanting in your life. And if that's what you want in your life, this is the road you take. Remember, he said, the road that leads to life is narrow and it is difficult. And this is difficult because the world that we live in, the culture that we live in, and the way that we've been raised is selfishness. It is selfishness. And so for us to retrain and to dissolve this toxic tree about it's not fair and why me and all of this is to meditate on what God's word says and that he promises his word, love never fails. Love never fails. So if a wrong you are remembering that someone did to you, weed it from your mind like thistles and replace there something new. And what you're replacing it with is his word. And if you keep reminding God, Lord, your word says, you're connecting with him and then he's empowering you and he's actually dissolving those toxic branches supernaturally. And he's replacing those things with him. And how many of us could have more of him in our lives?
Tracy.
Yes.
I was over at where we're going to move and I was weeding down thistles. And I had just been listening to your CD, and I was like, man, there's some really pretty flowers in here, and I don't want to weed eat them down, but I want to get rid of the thistles. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. It was like God showed me that, you know, his word is the weed killer. But if
awesome.
We don't get enough of the weed killer, then the thistles are going to overtake the beautiful flowers in us. And
isn't
I was like,
true?
Well, why can't those beautiful wildflowers just grow instead of the thistles?
Yeah.
It's like, no, because the thistles' seeds had bloomed out, and they blew in the wind and went everywhere
yeah.
instead of being smothered out by... And I
That's
was just...
Good.
I had to turn the weed eater off because I was just bawling as I'm cutting down thistles, and God's showing me that, you know,
That's
when
awesome.
My word's in there, the thistles can't come up.
That's
if
awesome.
They do, they suffocate.
God's
I was
word
like,
is
okay,
the weed
I got
killer.
That, God, I got that.
I love that. God's word is the weed killer. That is amazing. Okay, we just have a few minutes. Does anybody want to say anything?
Yeah, I have. What God has showed me, I tend to project tomorrow, next week, next month,
yeah.
you know, how
yeah.
this is going to go and what are we going to do? Where are we going to get the money for this? God is showing me I only have today.
Right. Beautiful.
I don't have to worry about tomorrow because he holds that.
It's the truth. It's the truth.
But in that way, it takes the fear, the anxiety.
Yes. Yes.
Because it's so easy to project.
It's the truth. And I always say, God doesn't want us dreading the future or regretting
right.
the past.
Right.
He wants us to live
right.
in the present. That's why it's called a present. It's a gift from God today. Father, how can I glorify you today? And if you wake up first thing in the morning, when your eyes open up, you're like, I don't have time. But just when your eyes open up, think about Jesus.
His presence.
Thank him for his presence.
Yes.
Thank him for everything you can possibly imagine. I mean, it's so easy. I mean, just in a short period of time. And what that does is that connects you to him. First thing in the morning, you're getting that connection with the Holy Spirit. And then you can start walking out your day knowing that he's going to guide you, he's going to lead your steps, he's going to make all the crooked places straight. I mean, there's so many amazing promises that you can stand on for that.
Amen.
Anybody else?
Just a quickie. Last week I was thinking about you and your struggle with Dwayne or whatever, people in general, you know, and I was looking at Dixie and I was looking at Chris and, you know, they don't have anybody to fight with anymore.
Right.
I mean, it's and guaranteed I'm more peaceful without Gary around, but it's lonely. So appreciate.
Yeah,
know,
for
your,
sure.
Your little.
Appreciate the fights.
Appreciate
your
irritation.
I appreciate the fights because I like the making up.
Yeah.
Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. We love you so much, and we thank you that you have not abandoned us or left us alone. In fact, your promise is that you'll never leave us or forsake us. So we just thank you for your promises. I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is living and active and powerful in our lives. And I just thank you that you are constantly in the process of changing us and making us into your image. And we just glorify you and just lift up the service today and just pray that every single person that walks through those doors experience your presence, your love, your power, and that they'll never be the same, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.